Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
That's us. This week is Jane's pick.
Yes, we've been doing so many serious movies lately, which I love. I love it, but I kind of wanted to throw in something kind of fun.
Yeah.
A little flirty, whimsy.
A little fun, flirty. Jane, how are you?
I'm good. I just woke up.
Yeah, me too.
So we're doing good. Our friend Abby's coming up from Kansas City.
Yeah.
And we're going to hang out with her, and it's going to be fun. So
heck yeah.
We're going to record for you guys, too. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a busy week, which is why we're recording here at the last minute.
Yes, Allison rocked it in a Shakespeare play.
Heck yeah. And I get paid tonight for that Shakespeare play.
That's so awesome.
So, and I just got paid yesterday.
That's awesome.
By the school.
We got paid,
so I'm going to have... I'm finally going to get out of the hole. I'm so excited. I'm finally going to have enough money to not be in debt. Not completely. I'll still be in debt a little bit.
But my
current debt that needs to be solved, it will be solved.
Good.
So Jane, what movie are we doing today?
We're doing the action comedy? Con Air from 1997. Starring Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, and John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that people probably remember this from their childhood a little bit.
It's a star-studded cast.
And I wanted to do this movie because I just recently watched it for the first time. And I just kind of fell in love with it.
It's good. It's an instant cult hit.
It is an instant cult hit. You're so right. The movie's premise is, Nicolas Cage is an army ranger, and so he comes back from doing army ranger things to his wife, who is 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, but she's flat. She's flatter than my normal everyday stomach.
Yeah, she looks like a model. But she is literally just a flat stomach. It makes no sense. And he's like, her name is, I don't know, Hummingbird.
I think she does have a name, perhaps. But they pretty much just call her Hummingbird through the whole thing.
Hummingbird. Anyway, he arrives home in Mobile, Alabama, on a tugboat of some sort.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he comes back on a tugboat when he's an army ranger.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I was like, so that you hitched a ride with somebody in the ocean? I was a little confused.
They were just like...
Oh, sorry, I'm gonna have to keep adjusting this sound.
Where was I?
He
arrived on a tugboat.
Yes, he arrived on a tugboat.
Which is odd. And they were just like, you know, find your own way home. What the army said.
Yeah.
That's
and
what
then
they
he,
used to do.
Yeah. They said, fuck you. We don't have the money to transport you. and so then he sees his wife and they have a dance. And I think she works at a bar, perhaps.
Yes.
And these men who are attracted to her start harassing her husband. The army ranger.
The huge, just ripped army ranger.
Also, clearly still in uniform, back to see his wife. This is Mobile, Alabama. You're telling me that these guys are going to harass a veteran?
Pussies like you are the reason we lost Vietnam.
Yeah, who says that? Do you even remember Vietnam, dude? He's like 20 years old and this is the 1990s.
Is it set in the 1990s? It is set in the 1990s, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
You pussies are the reason we lost Vietnam. That's so funny.
You're the reason we lost Vietnam. I was like, what the fucking, what? And it's so ridiculous. It just begins with a thing that would never happen.
Yes. And then it even gets even more unbelievable. So it gets even more unbelievable.
They
start, like, attacking him and presumably want to, like, you know, murder him.
Yeah, I mean, they bring out a knife.
Yeah, they bring out, like, a switchblade, and protecting his pregnant wife, Cameron Poe, he, like, kills them.
Yeah, basically. He kills one of them.
He kills one of them.
There's three of them. And they're all attacking him. He beats them all up. And he kills one of them. When he pulls the knife on him, he like monkey's paws his nose up. And the bone of his nose shoots into his brain. So it's that classic, like, if you break someone's nose, you can kill them.
Ooh, if you're strong enough.
And then the bar owner comes out and he's like, "This guy's dead, Cameron. Holy shit, Cameron, this guy's dead." And they're like, "Oh my God." And so then he goes to court.
And he goes to prison.
Yeah.
For 7 years for self-defense.
Yeah. They don't charge him for self-defense. They charge him for first-degree manslaughter. Which, first of all, I'm pretty sure first-degree manslaughter isn't that premeditated manslaughter?
I think
so. Or manslaughter due to neglect of, drinking. Not, like, manslaughter in, like, the second degree, isn't that, like,
Manslaughter in the first degree is charged whenever the circumstances and evidence warrant that one person has intended to cause serious physical injury to another person and that injury then resulted in death.
So there you go. They charge him with manslaughter in the first degree, meaning he thought about it before.
Yes.
Yeah, manslaughter in the second degree is like, you didn't mean to, but you did.
It was negligent.
It was negligent, and that's what killed someone. So he clearly didn't have the intention of hurting those men, which I'm like, okay, it's not come up with self-defense at all. And you're like, okay, that's a pretty major plot hole. But they do give you an explanation.
They do. They give you an explanation for everything.
Here's what's interesting about this movie. They give you explanations for the questions they know you're going to ask, but they don't, the answers don't make sense. They leave you with more questions.
Yeah.
So their answer to this, like, well, that was clearly self-defense thing that we say, is that Cameron, as an Army Ranger, is a killing machine. And that he has, the law applies differently to him because he's essentially a super weapon.
Yeah.
This is just a guy who is in the military.
He's not the Hulk.
No, he's not the Hulk. And also, that's ridiculous. This is Alabama. He's a veteran. And he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That's no way that would ever happen.
To jail.
It would never
also,
happen.
His lawyer's trying to be like, take the plea deal, plead guilty. And he's like, I'm not going to plead guilty. He's like, if you take the plea deal, you'll get 4 years, serve maybe one. If you don't plead guilty, then you're going to have 7 to 10. And I was like, why would he not take the plea deal?
And why is his lawyer so nervous? This is like a slam dunk case.
Yeah, he has a shit lawyer, apparently. Because that lawyer should have been like, bitch, they were coming after him. They pulled a knife on him. I think that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
His wife is pregnant. He just got back from, you also could have been like, PTSD, he just needs therapy.
That's true.
You so could have pleaded that case and you didn't. And also, then you didn't take the 1 year in prison deal. You missed not just the birth of your daughter, but the first like 8 years of her life.
And isn't even his daughter because 9 months, she was 9 months pregnant.
Literally.
How long has he been gone?
9 months, apparently.
Apparently.
Get your wife pregnant and then go away and then come back and then go away.
Honestly,
fuck you, honey.
They're the real victims of this entire movie.
So true. His fucking wife. And she stays loyal that whole last time.
I know. I was like,
you know she got married when she was, like, 17, too, because he knew he was going into the military, and he proposed.
Whew.
Military couples.
Stop.
It's true. It's funny. I think that's the funniest part of this movie. Military couples. She works at a damn bar while she's 9 months pregnant. And he comes back, and he's like, hey, I'm here. And she's like, yay, hooray, we're going to be together. And then he's like, oh, shit, I killed this man. I'm not going to take the fucking plea deal for you. I'm going to jail because I have no moral ambiguity.
He doesn't, he like, listen, he's like a martyr, right?
Literally a hero complex. He's like, I can't, it's a lie to plead guilty. And you're like, listen, man, you have a pregnant wife who you were just away from. And you're going to leave. So you're telling me it's more moral to leave this woman to fend for herself for the next 10 years than it is to just say you're guilty when you know you're going to get guilty anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so selfish.
I know. It's like, that's not a good person thing. Nobody thought about that, did they?
No, because he's such a good guy.
Always in the wrong place at the wrong time. I read your file. You're not a bad guy. Always in the wrong place at the wrong time, huh? I was like, I'm gonna kill myself. This dialogue is...
it's crazy.
You know what? I think what's interesting is that this movie isn't that bad. I mean, it's not a gem by any means.
No.
But it is not that terrible.
It's not. I enjoyed it.
It's got really good actors. And it's kind of like the worst part about it is Nicolas Cage and every idea that he came up with.
It's true. The bunny idea was Nicolas Cage's idea.
Yeah.
The accent and the fact that he's a southerner was his idea.
All really bad choices. And apparently the script was like being rewritten constantly. And I guess the people that were producing this, they were like a producing duo. Oh. And then they were going through a split because of this movie. This movie made them split up. And one of the guys died like shortly after. No, he wasn't killed or anything. He just died.
Yeah.
Of, like, a heart attack or something. And so the other guy, like, took it all over with, like, and he just did whatever he wanted.
They never thought, should we stop?
No, they didn't.
No one was there to tell them to stop.
To quote Steve Buscemi in Spy Kids 2. Do you think God lives in heaven because he, too, fears what he created? I think this movie got Steve Buscemi that part.
I agree. I think that he's a good actor, okay?
He is. He is a good actor.
This part was written for him, first of all.
It's so stupid. It's such a stupid part.
I guess we should tell you guys what part Steve Buscemi plays.
He plays the... what is his name?
Garland Green. So
Garland Green. Holy shit. All of these fucking killers have the weirdest names. Ted Bundy. Guess what? He doesn't get a special Ted Bundy the virus name. Like, he's just Ted Bundy. Richard Ramirez. Even he, I mean, has a kind of a fun name that you could really, like, put a twist on. But they don't do that. They just call him Richard Ramirez. I guess they call him the Night Stalker.
Yeah.
But that's because they didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Because they knew something.
But Cyrus the Virus, obviously they would have had to know what his name was.
And he's not a drug... also, this is what's interesting to me. He's not a drug lord or something. Like, Dog Diamond or whatever. He was like a cult leader kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, people knew about him. And they could give him a name like that. Like, drug lords and stuff get names like that. But he was like a serial killer. A serial killer doesn't get a name like that because that would imply that you knew their identity and couldn't catch them.
Yeah, and the reason that, like, Ted Bundy didn't get one was because he moved around so much.
Exactly.
And so, but, like, if you're dealing with someone like co-ed killer or something like that, if they kill in that area, then they'll usually get, like, a name.
Yeah.
But or if you're BTK, you'll give yourself you'll give yourself a nickname, which is not cool.
Same with Zodiac.
So nerdy. Listen,
giving yourself
not
a name.
A cool thing to do, you guys.
Fucking lame ass serial killer. So the names are so fucking stupid.
No, they're so dumb.
But so Steve Buscemi plays Garland Green, who is a essentially a serial killer and I think a child molester.
Yeah, they imply that he's a child molester,
and so he's killed like 30 women.
I think girls.
Yeah, they said girls.
He said girls. I can't tell if he means women or girls.
So we'll just assume girls, though. And then he is locked up, like Hannibal Lecter style.
Yeah, he is.
And then he gets released, obviously, when the convicts take over the airplane. And he sits next to Baby-O and...
Yeah, Baby-O was Cameron's roommate.
Yeah.
In prison. When they were in prison together. So they're all on this plane.
Yeah, so he sits next to Baby-O and Cameron. And, yeah, because Baby-O is going to another prison. Cameron is catching a ride to home so he can go to his daughter's birthday
party. So irresponsible. So irresponsible. Why would you put someone who's, like, going, like, is...
Yeah, how is a prison green like that?
Yeah, I don't understand. Why would you put, like, this person who is not that level of convict, who is has served his time and is technically going to be free?
Literally. They're like, oh, sure, Cameron. Yeah, totally. Just ride on the plane. And so, why would you let any unauthorized personnel on that plane? So, Garland Green, though, he just looks like an office worker.
He does.
And he sounds so stupid. And at one point, he wanders off and he meets this little girl, this poor little neglected child.
She's dirty. She's like, in the middle of
an abandoned swimming pool.
Abandoned swimming pool. There's no parents in sight.
No, and she's got like two teacups and a doll that's like those big dolls that are like the size of children.
Yeah.
It's dirty as fuck.
This poor kid, another victim in this story.
And then Garland Green comes and meets her, tells her his name is Bob.
Yeah.
And
what does it matter?
And they sing,
if she knows his name.
And they sing that song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands."
I love listening to Steve Buscemi sing that.
His eyes
don't change.
His eyes are like zoned out the whole time.
Yeah.
He's never there. You know what I mean?
No, never. He's
there, but his soul is somewhere else.
Do you think that is Steve Buscemi acting, or do you think that's Steve Buscemi trying to disassociate from the set?
It could be both.
Yeah, I mean, if I were him.
It's literally like two doll's eyes. They're like
black like a doll's eyes.
Black like a doll's eyes. He's just gone. And then you think he killed the girl, but he turns out he didn't kill the girl.
Because he's rehabilitated.
He's the only person that actually gets rehabilitated. I guess, what the freaking heck is Baby-O in prison for? They never say.
I don't know. They don't say, do they?
I don't think they do. He's one of the main characters. All we know about him is he's diabetic. And that's like his whole arc.
That's his whole thing. He needs insulin. That's his arc.
His arc is that he needs insulin and he can't get it.
And Poe is such a good guy
that he stays behind just to get Baby-O's insulin.
Instead of going home to his wife and kid who need him.
He's got a hero complex.
Ugh.
Okay. Oh my god, it's so... Ah! What else happens in this movie that's so incredible?
It's all so good, though. So they're all on the plane, and Cyrus the Virus,
played by John Malkovich,
is like the leader of all of the cons. I think just because he's the smartest, it seems like.
Yeah, he seems like he's the one that orchestrated the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that he's just this... I think he planned the whole thing.
He's criminally insane. Pew, 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 pew. He's the kind of crazy that, like, led to the Harley Quinn fetish of, like, oh my god, she's damaged.
Oh my god, you're right.
It's literally the thing that, like, led to the fetishization of Harley Quinn being mentally ill. And the Joker, they're like, oh my god, they're mentally ill together. And you're like, that's not cute.
He abuses her.
They're in an abusive relationship, and neither of them are mentally well enough to get out of it. Ha ha!
Cute!
I love, but she's so hot.
I love how unpredictable she is.
It's just like, she's quirky.
She's just quirky.
She's just quirky and weird, and like, I'm quirky and weird. So, like, I really connect her. I'm not trying to fucking dunk on you right now if you like Harley Quinn.
I feel attacked from my 13-year-old self.
I'm not trying to dunk on you right now, but it's not cute to think she's hot because she's crazy.
It's true.
She is hot, but that's a separate thing.
Yeah.
And let's be real, Margot Robbie's just hot.
It's not really Harley Quinn, it's just Margot Robbie.
It's just Margot Robbie that you're attracted to.
Watch Wolf of Wall Street and just get over it.
Watch Margot Robbie in something good. She's gonna be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm so freaking excited.
excited.
July 26th, baby.
We're going to go and see it in the theaters.
Yeah, we are. We're going to go see it in a nice theater. We're driving an hour away just to go see it in a good theater.
Yes, instead of Regal.
Regal. Beep. Don't know what I'd say that, but I hate you.
I hate you. So.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
I'm pretty sure they burned down the AMC. We used to have a good theater and it burned down. I'm fairly sure it was you know who. They're like, nobody's coming to our way overpriced movies with our shitty facility, so I guess we have to take out the only other theater in town. So sad. Anyway.
Con Air. So they're on Cyrus the Virus, orchestrates this whole thing. And then they rise up and Danny Trejo's in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a convict. Dave Chappelle's in it.
Yeah.
Baby O is...
Is the guy that plays Bubba.
Yeah, he has the exact same death. Like he doesn't die in this movie, but he has the exact same death scene.
Yeah, where it's like he's being held.
Hell.
And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And they're like, you are going to make it. No, you're not.
I'm just trying to find his name.
And he's so sweaty.
McKelty Williamson.
Mm.
I
would not have known that.
I wouldn't have either.
He's got
And then I love John Cusack. Okay. I love him. I think he's brilliant. I love Love and Mercy, and I love Better Off Dead.
But in this movie,
so we first get introduced to him, and he's wearing socks and sandals, and that is our introduction to his character.
I think he's the craziest one of all.
No, I think so. Danny Trejo actually said that out of all of the leading men in this movie, the craziest was John Cusack.
I agree.
He is a wild man.
He's got that Corvette.
He has that Corvette.
Ooh, what a car.
What a car. Ooh, are you fetishizing cars?
Yeah.
You know, whenever you're on, like, Tinder and then, like, you see a guy who has, like, a car as a...
Profile picture.
As a profile picture, and you're like, are you fetishizing cars right now?
Also, you're like, you think anyone's gonna click on you because you have a nice car?
No.
Maybe there's some girl that does, but, like, listen, honey, value yourself. You can ride in nice cars yourself.
Yeah.
Or does it really matter if a guy has a nice car? What matters is, does he have a car?
That's true.
You know, back in the 50s, how girls would go with guys if they had cars, and that was like, it's kind of like weird because they wouldn't go with guys who didn't have cars. I don't think I'd go with a guy who doesn't have a car. It just shows a level of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ladies in the 50s had it right on that one.
Out of all the things in the 50s, that was the best.
Out of all the things they had wrong,
they got that one thing right.
They got this one thing right, which is that you, unless of course, you yourself are not old enough to have a car. If you are, you should only be dating boys that have cars.
That's true.
You can give it like a buffer year, but after that, listen, when they're hitting 18 and they don't have a car,
Allison says no to that.
No, unless you live in a city where walking is the way you get around.
I wish we lived in a city where walking was the way we get
around. Me too. I hate driving.
I hate driving. Are we right?
Are we right? Don't you hate driving? Cars are just money pits.
It's true.
But if you live here and you know how... Here's what I'm basically saying. If you live here and you don't have a car, get a car.
Get a car.
Unless you have some medical reason you can't have a car. I'm sorry for shaming all you non-car people. I feel bad about it now.
It's okay.
I just don't understand.
Allison just wants a level of responsibility in people, I think.
I guess. I feel like a car demonstrates that. I'm sorry, everyone, that I dissed for not having a car.
So what's another
That was my character arc. What we just saw happen.
That was
a character arc.
Again with our character
differences. Again with our character differences. Yeah, Con Air.
John Cusack plays the guy who designed, right? He designed the airplane.
Does he play that or does he play...
U.S. Marshal. He's a U.S. Marshal.
Okay.
I think he's the head of the operation.
Yeah, it's his airplane that the convicts are being transferred
on. Yes, yes.
And then there's the other guy who... is from the DEA.
Yeah, and apparently there's, like, this whole thing apparently between the DEA and the U.S. Marshals or something.
They're not friends.
They're not friends. It's, like, contentious.
The DEA is dumb as fuck, though. They constantly make bad decisions.
There's that scene where... Who is it that they, like... They toss him out the airplane.
Oh, it's a... You mean with his dead body?
Yeah.
It's Dave Chappelle's character. His name's... something with a P. Something
ping
like,
pong?
It's something like ping pong. I don't think it's exactly it.
Ping pong. It says Joe Parker. I feel dumb. But I feel like he actually has a...
It's Dave Chappelle's character, I think.
Anyway. Sorry, guys.
It's...
Anyway,
pinball.
They
pinball. Pinball.
I was close.
Ping pong, pinball.
Anyway, when pinball gets dropped, and then they cut to like this weird, mundane,
like white couple in their car, and he's like, "Oh, I just got it cleaned, and now there's bird crap on it." And she's like, "You know, they say that's good luck." And it's like this weird ass music playing in the background.
Yeah.
It's like kind of funny, and then. Their car gets hit with the body, and that makes me wonder.
That is the scene that, like, it's so whimsical.
It's so whimsical that you're like, they didn't think this was good. They knew it was a parody. They had to have.
They had to know that it was a comedy.
Like, you know? It's like...
With scenes like that.
With scenes like that, it seems, like, too well-placed. But maybe, you know, maybe it's just a movie that acknowledges its own whimsy.
Maybe. It is a whimsical movie, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of just have to suspend your disbelief.
I mean, on a lot of things.
On a lot of things.
There's the
whole premise of the movie is that he goes to prison, and we have to put that into...
And then the whole other premise is that they're going to transport all different levels of cons on one plane with, like, four security guards and, they're going to let a guy go on board with a gun.
Yeah.
And also, they're going to also put a free man on here. And they're going to do this cross-country stop with multiple stops with, like, 50 convicts on board. 50 of the worst convicts in the world on board.
It doesn't make any sense.
It literally doesn't. It's like, that is not how they transport convicts.
It's for the name, Allison.
I know.
Also, Con Air. They're cons in the air.
When he says that, when he says he himself names it Con Air, I was like, no.
It's like a serial killer giving himself
no.
a name.
No.
Welcome to Con Air.
I know. I was like, no, John. John Malkovich, please. Apparently, John Malkovich absolutely hates this movie.
So does John Cusack.
They both refuse to do... interviews over it, and John Malkovich said he hated it so much because every day the script was being virtually rewritten, so he had no idea how his character was going to turn out because he just filmed so much stuff.
I want to see all the deleted scenes.
Me too. I heard there's a director's extended cut.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, what do you add?
What do you add?
More bunny talk.
Yeah,
hopefully.
So Nick hopefully. Cage came up with this idea of the bunny... which is a symbol for his loss, for the loss of his family, which he chooses, by the way. He could have gone home to them.
Also, loss of his family. Well, how does the bunny symbolize that? He has the bunny the entire time. He loses it once.
Like his loss
and gets it
sadness.
Back.
Yeah.
What is that? How is that?
I don't know.
In
but
what way are we symbolizing that? You
Nick
have
Cage
the bunny.
Came up with it.
Nick Cage doesn't understand a symbolic item.
So he has this bunny, and he's gonna... I don't know how he gets it in prison, first of all. No idea.
Yeah, none.
What does he trade for it? I don't know. Anyway, he has this bunny that he's gonna give to his daughter on her birthday, the day that he's coming back. And then he just... It's like...
July 14th, my dad's coming home.
What, you gonna cry about it?
That's literally...
Because your daddy went to prison?
John Malkovich, when he reads the letter that she wrote to him, and she's like... I'm turning Vietnamese.
That's you.
Yeah, that is me. Me and him are the same.
Cyrus the Virus.
Cyrus the Virus. Oh my god. I hate this movie again. It takes it out of me.
It does. It does take you out.
It's exhausting. What? So what else?
The bunny, and he, it like goes down a sewer at one point. And then at the end, he just gives it to his daughter. He gives it to
his daughter, and his daughter's like, what the fuck? I don't want this.
It's dirty with, like, sewer water on it.
And his blood. Also, the fact that his daughter, after all this fucking time, his daughter is like, I don't want this. And then also, she's, like, scared of him.
Yeah.
And she's like, you, like, figure, oh, my God, it's going to be, like, they're so excited to see him. But neither of them look excited to see him
at all. They both look terrified.
Literally, and the daughter, her mom, like, pushes her daughter towards him, and he gives her a hug, and then his daughter's just, like, standing there.
I would argue it's not a happy ending.
It's like, oh no, we're still with him. He's got a hero complex. He's the kind of guy that, like, puts his daughter in dangerous situations just so he can save her, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Munchausen's almost. For men.
I think that men can have Munchausens.
They can. It's usually in only moms, though. But gotcha. Also, I think there's a thing, I don't know what it's called, I don't know if it is a hero complex or not, but where it's like a thing some dads will do where they will let their child get into really dangerous mm-hmm. situations just so they can, like, be seen saving them, which is essentially just Munchausens, but...
Yeah, but in different... That's interesting. But
they don't make them sick. They, like, allow them to get into dangerous situations, like...
The hero syndrome.
The hero syndrome, there you go.
Is a phenomenon affecting people who seek heroism or recognition, usually by creating a desperate situation which they can resolve.
Yep.
I think he has it.
Yeah, so it's like that kind of thing where you, like, will let your kid, like, drown mm-hmm. for a while just so you can go in and save them.
Yeah.
Or, like, you'll, like, light a fire in the house so you can get them out. And you're like, okay, fucking crazy ass bitch.
You have a lot of ideas on this.
Well, I feel like I can't remember how I heard about this. Or, like, I feel like someone was talking about the fact that their dad did it. But I don't know where I heard that or from what. It's certainly, I don't think, a person I knew personally.
Yeah.
But I read or watched or heard something about that.
Gotcha.
And they were talking about how their dad had that and they didn't know when they were a kid and, like, how many times they almost died because of their dad.
That's so wild.
Yeah. Because it was, like, child abuse, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Whew. Yeah, I do have a lot of ideas on it, but mainly because they were recounting some of the things their dad did.
Oh, gotcha. So, later you're going to have to read just quotes from the movie because I need to hear you... like, read quotes. But I want to ask you two things.
Okay.
How do you feel about plane movies in general?
I don't know how many plane movies I've seen.
Okay.
I guess I've seen Snakes on a Plane. That's fun.
Yeah, I like
it. I've seen Airplane. That's good. I love that.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of Liam Neeson movies on planes.
I think those are the only... I think Airplane and Snakes on a Plane are the only two plane movies I've seen.
You like 3 out of 3, I guess?
With yeah. Conair.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so you like plane movies.
So planes are good with me, everyone.
I love a good plane movie.
I think planes can be interesting.
What do you think that Nick Cage is a good actor?
I think Nick Cage is perhaps affected by a lot of what's going on in his life. I think maybe he's a mentally unwell actor who sometimes is doing good and sometimes is not doing so good.
It's true.
I feel like movies where Nick Cage is good is like Nick Cage on meds.
National Treasure is so good. He's kind of calm and in National Treasure.
Exactly. And then movies where like this he's is not on meds and he's manic and he's like, I have all these ideas.
This is pure, this movie is just pure mania and testosterone.
Literally, yeah. And then there's Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, I don't think, he's not part of that is the really interesting thing.
He just sits.
He just sits there and just is like.
He doesn't talk.
What's insanity?
Is it working 50 hours in an office only to come home to your family? And you're like, what the fuck? That monologue, that's what I'm convinced got him Spy Kids.
Yeah, no, I love that monologue. It's pretty good.
Oh my god.
I love Steve Buscemi.
His, let me find the quote. Define irony. A bunch of idiots dancing on a plane to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash. For Sweet Home Alabama.
This is like stuff JD from Heathers would say.
Literally, oh my god. JD and Garland Green, they're best friends.
Best friends, they have the same hair.
Oh my good lord. These quotes are so bad. The very beginning when Baby O's like, I'm trying to find out, you know, God's got my back or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they just, it just cuts and he goes, ah! And he slaps him on the shoulder. I'm going home. And you're like, Nick, what?
What? How
it's
many?
Like, it feels like there was a whole scene in between there that maybe built up to that, but then it didn't turn out so good. So they just cut it, but they kept the laugh.
Yeah.
For the continuity.
It's so scary. Like, sometimes he'll do this. Listen, Nick Cage, I don't think Nick Cage is a bad guy. I don't get that from him like I get it from Tom Cruise.
Right.
Tom Cruise just kind of radiates evil in my eyes.
It's true.
He just does. I've seen so many videos of him talking about Scientology at this point that it's just...
You're like...
Anyway, but they both give me that same kind of feeling like...
Yeah, like, I wouldn't want to be alone with Nick Cage in a room.
Yeah, just as I would not want to be alone with Tom Cruise
in a room. I have no desire to ever meet those two by myself.
They're a little scary.
Mm-hmm. And Nick Cage is big, too.
Nick Cage is so ripped in this movie.
At least.
He would work out between takes.
I know. And, like, when he had to do promo for it, he would, like, go and work out on the sets of his, like, talk shows. And he'd, like, require that there'd be, like, dumbbells in his...
That's so nuts.
I know. I don't like it. Some actors are just people you do not want to meet, I don't think.
I don't think so either. I'm trying to think of other good Nick Cage movies other than National Treasure Book of Secrets. Both National Treasures are good.
It's true. Apparently that Mandy movie he's in
apparently it's
supposed
really
to be
good.
Really good.
Frozen Ground isn't bad. It's a movie about a serial killer. Him and John Cusack are in it together again.
Wow, John Cusack really had to work with Nick Cage a lot.
Yeah. Which it's not bad. It's fine. Vanessa Hudgens is in it.
Oh. She's cute. There's so many quotes. Especially, just the bunny thing really gets me.
Yeah. Put the bunny
back in the box. Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box? I was like, oh my god.
It's so good. This movie is delightful.
Where are you going? I'm going to show you that God exists. He's the worst part of the movie, truly.
Yeah, I think that the acting isn't bad. Like, I think John Cusack is a pretty good actor. I think everyone else sells their character pretty.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty convincingly.
It's like not your fault that the movie is terrible.
Yeah,
but it is Nick Cage's fault.
Yeah, he came up with a lot of the ideas. He, you know, made a lot of the decisions with his character, and I don't know if that was the best decision.
Yeah, I don't know why they let him have a say. They shouldn't have.
No.
Okay. Are you ready for an IMDb review?
I'm ready.
Okay. This one is actually a positive review for this movie.
Okay.
It's 8 out of 10. I was going to get a haircut. No expense was spared. 90s blockbuster action flick. Con Air starts a U.S. Ranger and wrongly convicted killer. I think that was supposed to say stars, but it does say starts. Con Air stars a U.S. Ranger and wrongly convicted killer Cameron Poe, Nicolas Cage, who boards a prisoner transport plane for a routine transfer home to Alabama to be released on parole after several years in jail. Also on board are some of the country's most dangerous inmates who are being transferred to a new state-of-the-art prison in Alabama, including Cyrus the Virus Grissom, John Malkovich, Nathan Diamond Dog Jones, Ving Rhames, and William Billy Bedlam Bedford, Nick Chinlund, who, though through careful planning, have set up an elaborate scheme to hijack the plane and make a break for freedom. The plan works to perfection, and they gain control of the plane, However, in the struggle, Poe's best friend's syringe is broken and he cannot inject himself with insulin he needs to stay alive, and Poe refuses to leave him. Not only does Poe decide to stay and help his friend, he sets about grounding the plane and sending the likes of Cyrus back to jail where they belong. Directed by Simon West, this mega-budget, no-expense-spared action flick produced by Jerry Bruckheimer is as good as huge, overblown, excessive Hollywood action films come. I should say at this point that, like many Hollywood films, Con Air is available in both its original theatrical cut and the obligatory extended unrated director's cut, just so the studio can make more money out of the fans. I've never seen the extended version. These days, I flat refuse to spend more money on what is essentially the same film, and will be basing my comments on the shorter theatrical cut, which is also the one that we saw.
Yes.
The script by Scott Rosenberg was apparently inspired by a newspaper article about a plane that transports prisoners, and from such humble, meager beginnings, one of the most downright entertaining big-budget action spectacles of the 90s arose.
I think that's a good description of it.
I know. I admit it right now. I love this film and have seen it multiple times and enjoy it immensely on each occasion. The thing moves like an absolute rocket. Sometimes it moves a little too fast, and the numerous over-the-top action set pieces come thick and fast. Thick.
It's a weird,
weird descriptor. Would fans of the genre have it any other way? Sure, there's plot holes, and it's highly unlikely half of the things featured in Con Air would be achievable in real life. But this isn't real life. No, it's an unashamed, highly entertaining action flick, and if you treat it as such, you'll have an absolute blast watching it. I thought the characters were fun and distinctive, there are some great one-liners, and it's a tight yet simple and effective story. Director West does a fine job, the explosions are huge, the stunts are spectacular, there are car chases, plane chases, fights, shootouts, and some nice satisfying violence too. It's all here. The action scenes are brisk and well choreographed with plenty of big bangs for the money. I love the climax as well, and as the plane landing in Vegas and the subsequent motorbike fire truck chase. There really isn't anything negative about Con Air. I thought it was a top film that does what it set out to do perfectly. With a budget around $75 million, it took about $25 million in during its opening weekend. I don't know if that's true. Is that true? $75 million?
Let's see.
$75 million?
$75 million?
$75 million? Holy shit, that's huge. For this movie? Oh my good lord. Okay. You can definitely see a large chunk of that on the screen with all the action and explosions. There's a great cast, including Cage, Malkovich, Rames, and the creepy yet always funny Steve Buscemi, John Cusack, and Colm Meaney. Everyone put in good, over-the-top performances, such as the material demands.
That's fair.
Con Air is one of the quintessential action flicks of the 90s. It's absolutely great and has everything you could hope for, including big bangs, flashy cars getting trashed, flights, shootouts, and big-name actors having fun, and funny one-liners. Those looking for something deeper meaningful may want to give Con Air a miss, but this is essentially viewing for... Oh my good lord. Those looking for something deep or meaningful may want to give Con Air a miss, but this is essential viewing for action film fans who wouldn't have it any other way.
That's a good one.
I think I really loved Con Air.
You really loved it.
$75 million to make this movie. $75 million. How much did The Room cost? I have to look up how much The Room cost.
Yes.
I think The Room had a really fucking large budget.
I love the scene where the guy's like trying to say Cyrus's name. He goes, Cy, and then...
No, The Room only had $6 million. The Room only had $6 million. This movie had $75 million. And this is what it looks like.
You guys. Don't spend that amount of money.
Some movies like the Avengers, yeah, I get, but this, holy shit. Oh my god. Okay, Psy. What were you saying about Psy?
When the guy's like, Psy, and then he's like, Anora. So, when he blows him up, so good. I love Cyrus's death, too.
Oh my god, no, it's so stupid.
It's good. It's good. It's solid. It adds up. I don't know what you're talking about. It
adds up. His head gets crushed by, like, a weight.
Yeah.
Like a dump, there's, like, a weight that's constantly going, apparently. And it crushes his head.
I don't understand why they fly Nicolas Cage's wife and daughter out to this, like, horrible scene that's going on where all of these civilians are dying.
And where her husband might be dead.
Yeah.
Also, when he's looking for the syringe in the little, canyon or whatever, yeah. And he finds the fire truck, and it's clearly a fucking fire truck, but he has to dust off the words to make sure it's a fire truck, and you're like, this is obviously a fire truck. You don't need to dust off the part that says fire department.
You remember the scene where he has the first aid kit and it's filled with onions and chicken feet?
Yeah. He's making breakfast in that little house when the explosion happens.
Yeah.
He's literally supposed to be helping his friend and he makes breakfast. He meets that old man.
Oh my god.
There's so many people.
There's so many characters in this. It's so hard to keep straight.
This movie's amazing.
I like it. I think it was I thought it was really fun.
It's fun, all right. Woof.
Woof. That's our opinion on Con Air.
Yeah, what do you give it? What do you rank it?
I'm trying to think of... Five out of ten. I think.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
It's fine. It's not a good movie, but it's so entertaining.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
It gets the job done.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
Put the bunny back in the box.
His accent is too much.
Just the minute he arrives on a fucking tugboat. You're like, so it's this kind
so
of
So it's
movie.
This kind of guy. This guy.
So we're doing this, are we? Yeah, 5 out of 10. I think I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, I'm exhausted.
I know.
I just woke up.
I know. I'm so tired, too. And it's like, this movie is so much.
Thinking about it just exhausts me.
Yeah, it's like an assault on the senses.
That's so true.
It's just, I feel, it's an assault on the senses. That's what it is.
Whew. Oh my god, okay.
So much fire. Cool guys, don't look at explosions!
I always think, every time I watch an action movie, I think about that song now. I literally have thought about it. I don't know when I saw a song the first time, maybe like the sixth grade. And I've just never stopped thinking about it.
Never stop.
Because I used to just watch it over and over and over. Along with the Shirani thing. It's like
I've
with
never seen that.
You haven't seen it? It's Rihanna and Andy Samberg, and they do like one of them's like she's a teacher and he's a student, and the other one's like they're Bonnie and Clyde, and it's like a music video, and he's supposed to be like the rapper part of Rihanna's music video, uh-huh. Kind of. His name's Shirani, and he doesn't rap, and he's like. And then whenever Rihanna gets fed up and he leaves, he's like an amazing rapper and he's like so good. And then as soon as she comes back in, he's like, and he like pees his pants and stuff.
That's so funny.
It is really funny. And I used to, when I was like younger, I used to just watch those over and over and over and over and over and over. So now like I can never get it out of my head. This is 10 years ago and it's still in my head perfectly. I can't remember the capitals of all the states, but that is ingrained in my memory. It's fucking crazy what we decide to remember.
It's true.
What our brains, like, this is the thing I'm gonna fucking latch on to. I can't remember to do basic math, but that my brain is grasped onto, and I probably, if I get dementia, that'll be the one thing I remember. Oh. Me singing Shirani, the SNL digital sketch. That's what's gonna happen to me. Shirani. Okay. Oh my god. I've been talking for too long. Okay. 11 a.m.
It is only 11 a.m. Okay, guys. Our new merch items should be out next week. Hopefully getting them done on Tuesday, because that's when the library is open.
Which means next episode, we, or maybe sometime through the week, depending on when we get it done, we will announce the rules for the contest that we're going to be holding.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. Follow us on our social media. The links will be in the show notes.
Yep.
Yeah, and so we will do that. And then if you stick in on our social media, you'll probably be the first person to know about the rules to the contest.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're going to have to wait. And you'll have to get on here. So I think that's it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.